welcome to another installment of Ministry Focus with Pastor Chad Nall, where we talk real and we live Jesus. I'm your host, Brian Foster, and of course, as always, I'm surrounded by my panel that we have assembled here tonight. And first, of course, is our host, Pastor Chad Nall. Hello, Pastor. How you doing today?
Oh, doing well, Brother Brian. Thank you so much. Looking forward to our podcast today.
Amen. And I'll be explaining more about that here in just a few moments. Pastor Jamie Chrisman's here with us again. Pastor Jamie, how are you?
Doing fine, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Amen. And of course, the rookie of the panel, Pastor Joe Carpenter, the newly appointed pastor of Faith Baptist Church. How are you doing today?
Young and energetic, brother.
Amen. Great. And good to have you, each and every one of you here. Touché. And of course, yeah, there you go. But it is good to have everyone listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed the previous installments. And we got something exciting to talk about today. When this week is a special week going on right now. It's the National Quartet Convention, one of the oldest singing conventions in the United States. Is going on in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, as we speak right now. If you're in Southern gospel music, this is the place to be. And one of the groups that has been at the National Quartet Convention since their move to Pigeon Forge has been the J. Stone Singers. And, of course, one of my good buddies, Bobby Carter, who's the manager of the J. Stone Singers, will be on the air with us here momentarily. They're driving back home. They left a little bit early coming home. And so we're going to get a chance to catch up with him and to talk a little bit to him about the National Quartet Convention. He also has a new album, or the group has a new album that's coming out. So we're going to talk to him about that and a few other things. So we just invite you to stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Brother Bobby Carter in just a few moments. The Ministry Focus Podcast with Pastor Chad Nall is sponsored by Faith Baptist Church of West End, North Carolina. Our service times are Sunday mornings for prayer service at 9:30 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., worship service at 11, also Sunday evening services at 7 p.m., and Wednesday night services with youth and adult classes, adults at 7 o'clock as well with the kids, and also our youth program as well. So come on out and bring the entire family. If you don't have a home church for yourself or for your family, we would invite you cordially to come and worship with us at Faith Baptist Church, 2180 Carthage Road in West End. And at this time, it is my pleasure to introduce an old friend of mine. I can say that because we actually went to high school together back in the early 80s down at Hope County High School. And who would have ever thought that God would use us in such a way as he has from the time that we graduated back in 1983 and 1984 until now. But, of course, I'm talking about Brother Bobby Carter, the manager of the J. Stone Singers. He's on live with us now. But, Brother Bobby, how are you doing?
We are doing wonderful. Hope you guys are.
Yes, sir. We are doing great. And I understand you're traveling back from the National Quartet Convention. And we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. But Bobby, okay. Most of us here know who you are. But for our listening audience who may not be familiar with the J. Stone Singers, why don't you give them just a little short autobiography of who you are and who the group is?
Okay. The J. Stone Singers are from Hope Mills, North Carolina. That's where the group was started and formed. It was Jay and Mary Stone and their two children, Jeff and Sharana, and some friends. They started in October of 1976, and I joined the group in June of 84 after graduating from high school and moved back into the area in 84. I started singing with them in June, and it's been a wonderful journey. Now it transitioned from being friends and family to it went to all family, and now it's the third generation. It involves Sharana and myself and our two children, Stone and Emma. Emma is still traveling with us, but Stone lives in Nashville, Tennessee, and Lord has him working in a different field right now as far as not working and traveling with us. But it's been a wonderful journey for our family for a little over 45 years.
Amen. God has, I know, has used y'all in a mighty way and has expanded your horizons over the past few years. And that leads me into my question about where you've been this week. Of course, the National Quartet Convention, one of the oldest singing conventions in the United States. And most Southern gospel singers, friends that I have, consider this the Super Bowl for Southern gospel music. But just briefly, Bobby, talk about how important this event is to Southern gospel groups today and to groups like the J. Stone Singers.
Well, it's a great event that started in Nashville, Tennessee, and then they moved to Louisville for a few years. And in 2014, they moved to Pigeon Forge to the LeConte Center, and that's where they've been since 2014. But it's a wonderful week of music, of singing, of worship, chapel services. And it's a time where groups and radio DJs and folks from all over the country and other countries come together, spend a few days together in the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee. And it gives us as singers or artists or whatever you may want to refer to us as, an opportunity to maybe meet and talk with the DJs that play our music. We have met some from Arizona this past week, and we were not able to go to Arizona, but we appreciate them playing our music and being just an extension of our ministry. And it gives us a chance to talk with them and shake their hand and just tell them how much we appreciate them and that they're a vital part of what we get to do and being able to share our music.
Amen. And I was able to be in Pigeon Forge the first few years that it came to Tennessee. And to me, Bobby, it just seemed like a big family reunion. You know, whenever you get all the groups together and the networking that you're able to do, do you feel like that's like a family atmosphere that y'all enter into each year?
Absolutely. We've made so many wonderful friends, not only the people that come to maybe hear us in a service or a concert, but the other groups that sing and that have become friends of ours. We had several of them tell us today as we were leaving. We hate to leave because you hate to tell people bye, but because you don't get to see them all the time. We go in different directions, but we always say, hey, if you need me, you call me, and we'll text each other during the week or so forth, just to try to be an encourager, because sometimes we can get discouraged. I mean, we can get frustrated just like everybody else can. But God has just placed wonderful people in our lives, and a friend, being a friend of someone, is a gift, and we have been blessed with precious friends. They are gifts to us.
Amen, amen. And now, Bobby, I'm going to turn these guys loose on you. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Chad Nall. He's got a question for you, and then we'll work our way around the table.
All right.
Hey, Bobby, let me say I really enjoyed the new released album that just came out. Wonderful songs on there. I love that song, Broken. What inspired that song?
Well, Sharana is the one that sings this, and she normally introduces it. So I shared some information with her, and she gave me some ideas that I could share with you guys. And I wish it was her that was talking about it, but it was written by a wonderful friend of ours named Rebecca Peck. She has written several songs that we record. And, this song is a little different from the others on our new CD in that it takes us to our darkest and most heartbroken places and reminds us that we're not alone, that God sees our tears, He hears our cries, He feels our pain, and He was broken in the most literal sense so that we might only survive, but heal from our hurts too and live joyfully and abundant lives. And, you know, Amen. Psalm 34:18 tells us the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And He's an awesome God. He's an on-time God. And we pray over these songs, Pastor Chad. And we listen to hundreds of songs that people send. And, you know, we can't record 100 at a time. We have to narrow it down.
Oh,
and
sure, yeah.
We want it. They minister to us in order to be able to share them and minister to people.
Right.
And we've started singing a few of them now in our services. And this past weekend, we had a lady that came up and shared with Sharana how much a song meant to her that Sharana had actually written on the new CD called Speak to Me. And the lady said it just blessed me, and she needed it. She was an elderly lady. And so we just are thankful that God will take our songs and our little bit of talent and ability and just give us an opportunity to share this wonderful story.
Amen. I want to shift gears just for a minute. I was talking to another group a while back at another function, and so I asked the question. I think this is something that I think our listeners need to listen to, hear about. You know, one thing that so many of the gospel groups that travel depend on is the sales from CDs, right? From the revenue from those type things in order to get that bus to go down the road. And now with everything being online so much, how's that affected you guys, and how have you pivoted in order to be able to try to make up some of that revenue from the loss of CD sales?
It's just an adjustment that we're all having to make. You know, like you said, there's so many streaming platforms now, and CDs are not a huge seller anymore. Some people are going to like USB type things, or just offering it to be downloaded. But, you know, some of our demographic that we've seen too, maybe in the Southern Gospel area, like my dad, for instance, he has a flip phone. He's not going to download anything because he don't understand that technology.
Right.
But, you know, we're just trusting the Lord, Pastor, just to get us through that. And he does. You know, he always supplies the need.
Amen.
And whether it's through a financial gift or a love offering or through a CD sale, we do a little bit different with our ministry, but it's been a wonderful blessing, and God has supplied us. You know, we've been able to continue keeping on, and we wish the diesel prices were $2 again, but you know,
right.
Lord, He owns the cattle, the hills, and the diesel.
That's
so he
right.
Can take
Amen,
care of it.
Brother. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I'll ask you one more question. I'm going to let the other guys ask something because, we don't want to keep you too long. Share with me a story or an incident that's taken place while on the bus traveling. And I know it's family, but share something that's really funny that you guys laugh about personally. Of course, if you're willing to share, that maybe the listeners can kind of relate and go and laugh along with you.
Well, sure. We got plenty, but one that sticks probably in our mind more than anything. We were in Kentucky singing for, we did quite a bit with the Salvation Army, organization, their ministry. And we were doing a family camp. It was a weekend camp for the Kentucky and Tennessee division. There was probably, I don't know, 300 or 400 people there, but it was at a campground. And we got there, and you kind of go down this windy road. It's in the mountains, and you go down this windy road, a beautiful camp. And we're there the whole weekend, and they're talking about, you know, we don't know if y'all can get that bus back up the hill. And I'm like, oh, yeah, but it's a pretty big machine. It'll pull pretty good. And the bus we were driving at that time, we got ready to leave that Sunday afternoon and started up that hill, and I got about halfway and it just stopped. And it wouldn't go anywhere. I had it forward. I mean, if I stayed with the gas pedal all the way to the floor, I'd be running 80 miles an hour. And I'm just sitting there on this hill, and it wasn't terribly steep, but it just had enough to it that so I backed up and backed on out towards the lake a little bit, and I got a little bit of speed and took off again, and I got to the same spot. And I was like, good gracious alive, what are we going to do? And it was called Paradise Valley. But at that point, not much of a paradise. We were kind of in a pickle. But we were sitting there, and they said, normally we have to take a tractor and pull them up. And they should have told me that to begin with. But here they come with a tractor, literally, that won't much bigger than a riding lawnmower. It's the same thing out of the plane. But it was a New Holland tractor, pretty good size little tractor, but a lot smaller than the bus. They hooked a chain to the front of that thing, and that little tractor pulled us right on up to the top of the hill. And hallelujah, we got out of the valley.
Amen, brother. That's right.
We made it to the mountaintop. And we ain't been back since.
Well, brother, you know what they say. Yeah. The views are great from the mountaintop, but the fruit grows in the valley. Brother, it was good talking with you. I'm going to let Pastor Jamie to step in, and he may have a couple things he'd like to talk to you about as well.
That'll be great. Thank you, Pastor Chad.
Hey, Bobby, it's Pastor Jamie.
Yeah.
As you know, we've talked several times a little bit about music and things like that. And I just got to tell you, it warms my heart to know that y'all are still out there, still out there as a family. a family ministry. And I remember the conversation that we had was that for both of us, actually, in that moment was that it has to be the family. It can't only be one person. It's because we're serving something so much bigger than us all. And what a blessing to be able to do it with family. I know, times whenever you're on the bus, it might not feel like that. It is, I know it is a huge blessing. So it just warms my heart.
Yes.
And I'm glad to hear y'all are writing new music and everything. I was going to just touch base with you on that. I was talking with somebody the other day. And Southern Gospel has always kind of had a moniker or a sound or something along those lines. And now it seems to have changed. It seems to have evolved. Y'all are a part of that evolution. How is that being received in churches that are typically can be more traditional in their leanings and things like that?
We actually have quite a few elderly people that will come to us after a service and say, I love the new music. I love the new feel and the way it made me feel.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times, I think we can get caught up in the tune and the beat, so to speak, of it versus the lyric.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to be aware of that. We try to have a good mix. Whether it be on our new record that's just come out the 23rd this month, we got a Fannie J. Crosby song from the early 1900s that we were not even able to find any type of recording of it, period. All we had was like the sheet music. And we heard it at a Salvation Army service, and they sang it with no music and the lyrics. And Emma, it just struck a chord in a 25-year-old that was, the song was written in like 1904.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Lord just impressed that. She came to us and we were looking for material and told Sharon and I said, I want to do this song. And so we let God do the work.
Amen.
Brother James.
Amen. It's interesting you say that. We just got done with a revival and we were able to do some more of the newer Southern gospel songs and things like that. And they resonate. I mean, they really do. And what that tells me is that God and his spirit and his power can transcend so many things. Just like you said, it can touch the heart of a 25-year-old just like an 85-year-old.
And it's, you know, it's not, you know, we just try to, and we are apt to change it up. You know, I might have an idea of what we might do the first two or three songs, but sometimes we just change by the way we're feeling it, and we can feel the presence of the Lord begin to move and the service begins to change. And we just let God do it.
Amen. So exciting. That's so exciting whenever God's in the middle of it and he flips the script on you and the Holy Spirit decides to minister in that way.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you real quick before I let you go and allow Pastor Joe to get in. One of the questions that I had, always burning question whenever you have a catalog of music, what's your personal favorite to play as a family?
Oh, my.
And I realize that's like a big question.
That's like asking me what my favorite scripture is.
Because I understand.
It just depends on what I'm reading that day.
Sure, I get it.
But, it is honestly hard for me to say. You know, I've written some songs that I absolutely love, but, you know, it's hard. It is honestly hard for me to pick my absolute favorite, even on this new record.
Mm-hmm.
One that really sticks out is one that Rebecca Peck, the lady I mentioned earlier that wrote Broken, heard another lady, Diane Wilkinson, who just recently passed, they wrote one called Mercy Turns It All Around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a victory song. I mean, by the time we're done with it, I'm ready to turn it around and do it again.
Amen.
But it's, we have so many, it is honestly hard for me to just pick an absolute favorite.
I realize that was a loaded question.
I do know that, when I was saved, the morning or afternoon I was saved was a Sunday afternoon singing. It was the song, The Old Rugged Cross that they were singing that, as a 7-year-old little boy, I felt like I was getting a whipping. And I remember that day. And I'm thankful for the cross and the blood.
Amen. Amen indeed. Well, that's the message of the music, brother. And it's been great sharing time with you again. And I'm going to pass you on to Pastor Joe now.
All righty.
Well, praise God, brother. I'm sitting here and just feel so encouraged listening to you. And I've got the J-Stone Singers pulled up here on Spotify. And I see that you guys released your first album there in 2010, another one in 11, 13, 15, 17, 19, and now this latest one in 2022. Yes. And brother, you've got a lot of time spent out on the road, and God has blessed you. Just blessed you immensely within your ministry. What advice would you give to another individual or group who feels that they've been called into a ministry such as yours? How would you encourage them?
Total surrender. Just wait. He'll move. If you will be still and listen, he does give us the desires of our heart. And I can't tell you anything, Brother Joe, that brings me or gives me any more joy than for our family to get to do this. And are there rough days? Absolutely. And that weeping is only going to last for the night, because his word says joy comes in the morning. And so it gets tough. And we get weary, but we keep pressing on towards the mark, because there's a better day ahead.
Yes, sir. Brother, I hear the emotion in your voice, and it's
I'm a crier, brother, in a heartbeat.
Brother, I tell you, you start talking about Jesus, it's hard not to get emotional.
Yes, brother, you got me over here like this Pastor Chad. You got me over here, my eyes starting to water.
Praise God, brother.
I wish I was in the room with you.
I don't think there's a dry eye around this table right now, brother, to be honest with you.
And brother, we know, I'm sure you better than us, that as you're on the road and you go into these different churches, I would say it's probably safe to say that there are entertainers and there are ministers. And here talking to you today, it's clear that you're a minister. Your intent is to share the gospel truth through song, and what a blessing that is. And what can we pray for you and your family about specifically to continue to support you in any way we can?
That we will see souls saved. He's soon coming, and we want all that. I believe he put us here to share the message, to plant the seed.
That's right.
And, you know, I believe he's soon coming. I think it's closer than it's ever been, and you as pastors know that. I don't even have to say it. But, you know, we don't take lightly for a pastor to allow us to come into their church, to stand in their pulpit, to share the story of his love, of his salvation, of his gift of eternal life. And there might be someone out there that was saved, but there may be down or discouraged or broken, just like that song talks about. And we want them to leave different than they came in that building. And I just ask you pray. We pray for the anointing, for the Holy Spirit to be on us and in those services. There's several times, you know, after we get set up, that I'll just walk up the aisle of the church and I'll lay my hand on the end of each pew. I don't know if anybody will sit on it or not, but if there's somebody that sits on it that's lost or going through something in their life, we want them to leave changed.
Brother Bobby, I just sitting here, just listening to you, and, you know, just like I said at the beginning, who would have thought God could use two old boys from Rayford in the way that he has? And I always stand amazed at how he's used you and the J-Stone Singers and the blessings that he has given you guys and the opportunities that he's opened for you guys to minister. And I think if people are really listening to what you just said, now they understand better why God has opened those opportunities for you guys.
Yes. And like I said, Sharana and when Stone was with us and Emma, you know, it is an honor for us to get to do this as a family. And we do have a great time on this bus and these services and, you know, sleeping in the Walmart parking lot at Cracker Barrel, wherever. It's just an honor to get to do this work.
And I guess that's encapsulated. Pastor Chad stole my thunder, but I've always got a plan B in my back pocket. Just what you're saying right now, there is a song that really struck a chord with me. It's uniquely J. Stone, but just by the sound of it. But it's, to me, the song is What We Believe. And to me, that's not only a mission statement, but that's a ministry statement. Am I accurate in that, Bobby?
Absolutely. When the first time I heard the demo on that song, we listen, we have a keep, what we call a keep pile, a maybe pile, and it ain't going to happen pile. And we put that in. I said, I want to do this one. And I didn't have the intentions of doing the verses or being featured on it, but I love the lyrics in it. And because it is what we believe.
Amen. And I think it just totally encapsulates your ministry with the J. Stone Singers. And Bobby, I know you got to get back on the road, so we won't keep you any longer. But I just want you to take a few moments, tell the people where you can find the new album, Count for Something, how they can look it up, when it's going to be available. And just kind of tell the folks within the next few weeks where you guys are going to be at. So if they want to travel to see you in person, where are you going to be at in the next few weeks?
Okay. Our dates are listed on our website, jstonesingers.com, but they can always go to social media via Facebook or Instagram. We post our dates up there for the month, usually, and the week of, you know, two or three or four days out, we try to remind folks, hey, we'd love to see you Sunday night or Saturday night or Friday night or whatever it is. So that's there. The music is streaming at like Pandora, Spotify, Amazon, those types of streaming platforms. iTunes and Apple Music, we're trying to work through some glitches on that. Hopefully it'll be up in just a few more days or a couple weeks or so. And then we will have it on our online store. If someone needs an actual CD, we can do that and get it sent to them. As far as dates, we're actually going to be close to home this weekend, and I'm glad of that with the storm coming in. But that's one reason. NQC kind of quick, but it's because we want to try to get home before the wind and rain hit. And I got about 212 miles left to go, so we'll be in there about 1:30 in the morning, I guess. But we'll be in Federal, North Carolina this coming Sunday, the 2nd, doing a homecoming. We love doing homecomings. We like to sing. We like to eat, too.
Amen.
And the weekend of October 9th, we're up near Smithfield. The 15th and 16th, we're in like the Rockingham area for a private event on the 15th, and then we're in South Carolina on the 16th. 23rd, we're back in Clayton, North Carolina that night, and I can't even remember where we were that morning. But we go all over, and if any of the people that are listening or pastors would be interested in having us come in to worship with you and your people, and to have a night of ministry or a morning, we'd be honored to do that. And they can contact me, like I said, through the social media stuff or through the website. The phone number and everything's there. But we would be honored to be able to share it with folks.
And we will definitely get you back in West End, North Carolina, in the very near future. I'll assure you of that, my brother.
And your mama cooks mighty good.
Yeah, and she's always asking me, when's Bobby and them coming around? And I'm like, okay, she's ready to cook for you, so it's time to get you down here. Speaking of food, real quick, it's a final question. One of the merchandise items you got up, and folks, if you don't follow him on Facebook, you just need to just kind of look and see what I'm talking about. But every once in a while, you have a delicious dinner or lunch or breakfast that you take a picture of, and your famous phrase is, I'm about to have me a spell, neighbor. And you turned it into a T-shirt. And now that's on your merch table now, correct?
Yeah, I had some people say, hey, you need to do a T-shirt. You need to do a ball cap or whatever. But and so we decided to do that. And people are laughing and joking about it this week in Pigeon Forge. But we do have those. And again, it's just like our CDs. That kind of stuff just helps go right back into our ministry. Anybody, any offering or anything like that goes right back into the J. Stone Singers ministry to help us put diesel fuel in the bus and keep repairs taken care of and so forth. But we do have those available. Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, again, Bobby, we just thank you for taking a few moments of your time to just to talk to us and to give us your insight and give us a little bit of perspective about your ministry. And as always, my brother, we pray that the Lord would grant you traveling mercies, especially during this time as you're traveling back from Tennessee, and keep his guiding hands upon you as you're traveling around the highways and the byways of this country. And again, just thank you so much, Bobby, for joining us today on the Ministry Focus podcast.
Yes, sir. I sure appreciate it all. Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor.
Okay, buddy. We'll see you later, Bobby.
All righty. Y'all take care, fellas.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Thank you again, buddy. Bye-bye. Love you, man.
Love you too, brother. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And now it's time to talk a little bit about some of the other ministry events going on in our area. First, coming up at the end of this month, actually October the 21st and the 22nd, Beulah Baptist Church in Bennett is holding their Tribulation Trail. And folks, if you've never experienced this, you really need to make a concerted effort to take you, your family, or your church family to one of the nights that Tribulation Trail has been going, that will be going on. This is about the third or fourth year that Beulah has been hosting this. So I encourage you to give it a look-see. It looks at what would happen if the rapture was to take place. And it really searches your soul for what's going on. And it's really impactful in its message. So Tribulation Trail, Beulah Baptist Church, they have two offerings. First, October the 21st and the 22nd. And also October the 28th and the 29th. The trail opens at 7 o'clock each night. And the admission's only $5. So, again, please make your plans to go and take your family out to see this powerful portrayal, the Tribulation Trail. Also, we've got the prayer conference coming up at Central Baptist Temple coming up this week. As a matter of fact, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week, Pastors Daniel Buchanan and Pastor Tyler Golden will be preaching those nights at Central Baptist, and it's going to be focused on prayer and fasting. So again, we just encourage you, it's 7 o'clock each night, Central Baptist Temple. They're on Fire Tower Road in Sanford. Make your plans to attend. All right, now we get back into the crux of what we're talking about this week, and we're keeping it on the focus of worship. And just having talked to Bobby Carter of the J Stone Singers, one of the things that the questions I have, of course, me being in music ministry, you think of worship, and a lot of people think of worship as just being the music side of things. But the question I have for you guys is, what do you think when you hear the word worship? Pastor Chad, I'll start with you.
I think the best way to describe it is to go to the Word of God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 15 says this, "For by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name." And so for me, worship is connecting with God in an intimate way. God's been so good to me. He's been so good to my family. We are blessed beyond measure. And it's all because of his grace, his mercy, and his forgiveness that we're able to be able to praise him with our lips. And so for me, worship is a very intimate thing. I believe in worshiping many different ways. I think you can not only worship in song, but I believe you can worship in giving of the tithe. I think you can worship in service. You can worship in so many ways, but the most important thing is the motive and the intention behind that worship. And if it's not God, if the object of our worship is not Jesus, then it may be an emotional experience for us. And I think that's something that's going on today is emotionalism. Sensationalism. And so it's important that we worship God for who he is, not who we, not how we feel about the music or about how we feel emotionally about some situation that we're in the middle of. I think we have to really praise him for who he is. And the word says to do it continually. So for me, that's really what worship is, Brother Brian.
Pastor Jamie, what about you?
I heard Bobby say, Bobby Carter, that is, say just a second ago, that one of the key words for him is surrender. And every time I think about worship, that's exactly what I think about in terms of surrendering everything before him, surrendering everything within my mind, everything within my spirit, that my entire attention of everything that makes up the inner part of me to be turned towards him. and put in a place of reverence and acceptance for who he is. And it is an intimate thing. It's a very intimate thing. So many times I hear the word worship in certain circles, and ministry circles and things like that. And I really think that people, mischaracterize it. I think that they think that it's more, that you can only use that term, when it's a jubilation or a jubilant feeling or celebration. And that's a very slippery slope, just as Pastor Chad said, of getting into emotionalism and what feeds the flesh, as opposed to surrendering our spirit to the Holy Spirit.
Pastor Joe?
Yeah, brother. Pastor Jamie, absolutely. I think you're hitting the nail on the head here. And when you read Exodus 34:14, we're told, "For thou shalt not worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." When I think about worship, it's something that is set aside for God only. And when we get into a point in our lives where we refuse to give up something in our life, I believe that we are worshiping that. We're turned over to idolatry because we're placing that above God.
That's good.
And worship is reserved for God and God only. And if you read the book of Exodus 34, if you go a verse prior, we're given the reason why we're being told this in verse 14. And verse 13 tells us this: "But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves." And this is here in Exodus, we know that they're worshiping something other than God. And like I said, when we worship, it's reserved for only a holy God, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And do anything other than that is insulting, to be honest with you.
Amen. Pastor Jamie?
And so I agree 100%, especially from the scriptural reference. And from that, we are compelled to worship in every part, not just in singing, but in giving, just as Pastor Chad said, in our service, just as Pastor Chad said, in our witness, as Pastor Chad said, the motivation, what makes up the need for us to worship. We're compelled by the God that loves us so deeply.
Amen. And, you know, being a student of Pastor Chad's, he's always preached, you know, do a word search, you know, search out the word. And I did a little background on this, and I just wanted to bring this up just to kind of break it up and to give you a full angle of worship. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for worship is called shaka. And the basic meaning was to depress, i.e. or prostrate, in homage to royalty or to God, to crouch, to fall down flat, humble, beseech, do reverence, or make to stoop. Mm-hmm. And Exodus chapter 3, 4 through 6 shows the example of shaka, where it says, "And Moses hid his face." And it was a fitting reaction of reverent fear in the presence of the Lord, first modeled by Moses. And I'm quoting out of the MacArthur Bible commentary on that one. But in the New Testament, the Greek word for worship was proskuno. And that meaning is to kiss. I know this is how it's going to sound a little funky, but if you think about it, you'll understand where it's coming from. To kiss, like a dog licking his master's hand. To fawn, crouch, do reverence to, and adore. And of course, the first examples of that is found in Matthew chapter 2, when he talks about how the wise men came to worship the baby Jesus. Basically, what I get out of this is, if you come to church to worship or to find worship, you may be hard pressed to, because worship begins in one's own heart. And you bring that worship that you start in your heart and in your home, and you carry that over with other brothers and sisters as you assemble together in a total surrendered atmosphere. And I think that's where true worship comes. You have the different aspects, the just like Pastor Chad said, with the service, the tithing, the music, the preaching. All that is encompassed. But if you don't begin it in your own heart, then it's going to be difficult to try to find it anywhere else.
That's good. You know, it made me think, Brother Joe talked about the book of Exodus. And the Exodus chapter 5, it deals with this, because the story begins with a set of instructions given by Almighty God to Moses about the implementation of a worship service. And so they had been in bondage for 400 years. It was time for them to get back to worshiping him the way that God desired for them to worship him. Mm-hmm. And so that is how the whole process began of the children of Israel being delivered out of bondage, because, you know, Moses said, "Hey, let my people go."
Right.
That's what God said to the Pharaoh, and we know how the story ends there. But that being said, all that was because God desired his people to worship him the way he wanted them to worship him. And so again, worship is not about us. Worship is really about God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And so when we make it about us, then we lose the reverence behind what we should be doing. God is he's a holy God. And that word holy really means to be separate, right? I remember one of my Bible college instructors, he gave a wonderful example about the holiness of God. And he said, "Hey, listen, if you're cutting up vegetables on a chopping board, and you cut the onions up and you slide them over here, you cut the carrots up, you slide them over there, you cut the green peppers up and you slide them over there, they're all separate." And so, so God is separate unto himself. However, when we worship him, then you take the onions, you take the carrots, you take the peppers, you take all those things, you mix them together, and that's called something called mirepoix, and it goes into a pot, and that's a great base for things to be cooked with. But the reason why we put them all together is because of the aroma that comes from those things in the pot. And so that's what God desires in our worship. He desires an aroma of our worship unto him, and it be set aside only for him. And so that's why worship is so important. And I believe that if we find our spot with God, God will find his spot with us. And I think it will really change our mode of who he is in our life. I don't know about you guys, but I know that when I am in my lowest moments, and I tell you what, as a pastor, at times you get there. And sometimes I get low, I get discouraged because of all the discouraging things that's going on around us. And one thing I have found that encourages me, King David was in a situation, I love it, and David said that he had to encourage himself. And so the way that I like to encourage myself is by worshiping God. And that's just to get along with him, to be separate and worship him in a meaningful way. And, you know, it always starts for me. I'll just share transparently. For me, it always starts with prayer. Then he's getting in the word, mm-hmm. and then singing and praising him.
Amen.
Right. And that mode for me works. And what I've found is the more I praise God, the more God gets involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, that's just my personal mode of worship when I get in those scenarios. So I think worship's very important to who we are as Christians.
Amen. And I work a little bit backwards. I do the music first, of course, into the prayer and into the word. And that kind of helps me get into that mode of worship. Once I get that song in my heart and I begin to sing and I begin to worship mm-hmm. him and I begin to focus on him, then the prayer and the word becomes easier.
Hey, there's no wrong way to do it, right?
There is no wrong way. And Pastor Jamie, I'll shoot this question to you. I've heard you say it plenty of times from the pulpit. Find your spot, whether that is in total reverence or if you want to lift up holy hands, as long as you're doing reverence to God, doesn't matter. You find your spot, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's just as Pastor Chad said, there's no wrong way to do it. He's a personal God, and how we worship him is just as personal as a relationship to our spouse. Or something, we can make it akin to that. We want to know him the way that we know our spouse. We want him to know us, and commune that way. And so absolutely find your spot.
Amen. Unconditional love.
Amen.
Is what it amounts to. Our time is growing short, gentlemen. Any final thoughts before we call it a day today? Amen. Okay, so I'll take that as we're ready to go. And next week, I would encourage you to give us a listen. We pray that you listen to us each and every week, but especially next week. We're going to have Reverend Jim Babb on the podcast, and we're going to be talking about something that is critical for today and in the days ahead if the Lord tarries, and that is how the end times is impacting our world right now. All the different events that are going on right now and how that relates to end time prophecy. So I would encourage each and every one of you to tune in next week and give that a listen.
Absolutely. Let me jump in right here real quick, Brother Brian. Listen, eschatology is very important. That is the study of end times. And so what we're going to be doing is we're really going to take the Word of God. So make sure when you tune in, you have your Bible and you're ready to go and written in the book of Revelation. And so we're going to get in there and we're going to talk about the seven churches. We're going to talk about where they're at today, the age we're living in today, what's going on. We're going to set up the thing. We're going to talk about the tribulation. We're going to talk about the rapture. We're going to talk about the red heifer prophecy that's going on right now in Israel, the one world religion, the one world currency. We're going to talk about a whole lot next week. Super excited about it. So please tune in. I think you'll be blessed. And looking forward to that.
And also share this with your friends. I mean, just don't keep it for yourself. And like I said, next week is going to be exciting, but just share the podcast. That's how we grow, is the more
subscribe.
You share and subscribe. Hit that subscribe button and give us a listen. But thank you again for giving us a few minutes of your day today to listen to the Ministry Focus podcast. We pray that you have been blessed and encouraged by our broadcast today. Join us next week for more Ministry Focus with Pastor Chad Dahl. Until then, may the Lord bless you abundantly. So long for now.